This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Life carries with it a fear of being rejected. The Word of God has something to say about this subject, and we'll discuss it in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that we may overcome that tremendous fear of rejection by humankind. Lord, we do not want to be obnoxious. We do not want to be repulsive, but we want to be faithful to you. And grant that we may have the grace and the courage to speak your word faithfully. And if that brings to us rejection, then may we realize that Jesus talked about it, the disciples experienced it, and so will all who prove to be faithful to you through the end. Hear our prayer and speak to us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, life carries with it a fear of being rejected. I have a friend. I haven't seen him for many years, and he was a comparatively young man when I had a conversation with him in Florida, where the team was in for winter training. As we sat there and visited together, I asked him, "What does the future have for you?" And he turned to me and he said, "Well, I've had many years in professional baseball, and I know it is not too bright. When the old body wears out, and you can't run bases like you once did, and you can't hit the ball quite as good as you once did, it soon comes that thought that has haunted me all my life. We can't use you anymore." And that's precisely what happened. Another couple of years, and he was out of baseball, at least as far as the playing was concerned, his day was over. In one sense of the word, he was rejected. And all during his playing career, I think he probably carried that in his heart. What happens on that day when the team says, "We have no use for you then." I give you another one. This is a little bit more humorous. I went to a small Christian church college, and during the course of the school year, one of the great festivities was homecoming. And the highlight of homecoming was a banquet where each young man was encouraged to invite a partner, a lady, to come and be his guest at the banquet. And they came all dressed up, and you bought them a corsage, and it was quite an event. Well, a group of men that I had run around with for some time had a person in it who did not have a date. And so we began to say to him, "Come on now, you got to have a date." Never dated. And he said, "No, I would like to. There's nothing I'd like better. But I know that no one would care to go with me. I'm just a little bit different from the rest of you guys." So one of our crowd decided that he was going to see a girl that he knew this boy would like to date. He did that and asked, "Would you be willing to be his guest if he invited you to the homecoming banquet?" And she led up and said, "You bet I would." So with that assurance, this fellow went back and really pleaded with him to go ask that girl. And he went. And you guessed it, she said, "Yes, I'll go with you." He came back to the dormitory and he said, "Do you know what? She has accepted my invitation. She will go with me." Now, here was a person who must have had a low self-image or an inferiority complex or whatever you want to call it. But he was so elated that that girl would go with him to a banquet. You see, he lived with the fear of being rejected. He lived with the fear, for example, in this particular case of her saying, "No, I don't think I care to accept your invitation." What would he do then? And so to spare himself the hurt, he wasn't going to ask her. And that's the way many people deal with life today. God's word speaks about being rejected, but it also talks about being accepted. There are two parts to this fear of being rejected. The one part all of us know, and that is the fear of being rejected by humanity. The second one, far more serious, many people understand and experience, but do nothing about it. And that is the fear of being rejected by God. How different it can be when we live with a conviction in our hearts that God has accepted us. I would like to read for you a portion of that sixth chapter of John where we have been studying for the last few weeks, where Jesus says, beginning with verse 37 of that sixth chapter, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What a difference. Jesus is saying, if you come to me, trust me as your Savior and Lord, the Almighty God in heaven will never reject you, nor will he forsake you, but you will be his forever. Now you notice what he says here, that whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I'm interested in that word, whoever. You know, that was a real balm for many of these Jews who were there with Jesus. They were thoroughly convinced that the people that God was concerned about were the Israelites. And well, they could have, for they had been his chosen people. But then came the day of Jesus Christ, and God's kingdom is now going to be built on grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it is not offered to only one nationality, nor to one particular type of people, but it is offered to the entire world. The Jews did not understand that, but who are we to poke fingers at the Jewish people of that day? Rather, we ought to take a look at ourselves. The church has not understood that very well either. We often think that God is concerned about a particular group, and if we'll be honest about it and give it some thought, that particular group we could describe to you almost to the letter. We had a congregation in the city of Chicago. It was not a large congregation. I doubt that it had more than 600 members. And they had built a beautiful church in a very, very nice part of Chicago. Everything was fine. They were a comfortable little group. They loved one another. They were pretty much of the same nationality and certainly of the same conviction as far as Christianity was concerned. And so they settled down to really go to church. Part of it was the social aspect, and we understand that, and that is not altogether wrong. But pretty soon, the black population, our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, potentially, if not already there, came and began to live around that church. So these people said very piously, well, you know, the two races are not meant to be together. They sold their church, went out a few miles, and built another one, equally as beautiful. But the prosperity of our black brothers and sisters grew, thank God, and they finally got closer to the second church. And once again, they moved to another location. You see, they never evidently got a hold of this verse, where Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I'll never drive them away. And they would have said, no, God won't drive them away, but he wants us in special groups. Not true at all, my friend. He wants us together. It isn't race. It isn't education. It isn't economy. It isn't social status that puts us into our churches. It is knowing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So this invitation of acceptance versus rejection is with us here today. As if we human beings could stand before God Almighty, this is really a promise of grace. If God wanted to do away with us, he had a right. If anyone had a right to say, well, you don't measure up, if anyone had a right to say, well, I can't use you anymore, it was certainly Almighty God. But rather than that, he said, I forgive you all. I forgive you all. I want you for mine. I believe that Isaiah has said it very well when he thought of standing in front of an Almighty God. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Oh, there are so many who think, if I can't measure up as far as humanity is concerned, how can I ever measure up in the presence of God? Yes, he's got a right to say, you had your chance once, but it's over. No, I will not receive you. Yes, he has a right to say you are not qualified, for who of us are qualified when you take a look at our lives? But Jesus said no matter what the past has been, no matter of what your wretched being might have done, if you will come to me, I will never cast you aside. We are deep into the Lenten season. And we think of that great day, terrible day, but a day we can never forget, when our Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. And on each side of him, there was a criminal. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then that robber on the cross said, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He had hung there. He had heard Jesus probably talk about the kingdom. Will you remember me when you come? A repentant confession, a longing to be received. And what is it that Jesus says to a robber? Now, he must have done something pretty bad to be crucified. He had robbed, probably done some other things, and they thought, we've got to get this man out of society. It was that man whom Jesus picked up and said, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. The only time that our Father in heaven will reject anybody is when he has breathed his last breath and died in unbelief. Now, I hope you catch the dynamic of that, people, because this is a day of grace. And if you are outside of the kingdom of God, that is, if you are not a Christian, and you're not a Christian if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, who died for your sins, who was raised again, and is coming once more. If you're not a Christian, he is saying to you today, I don't care again. Look at the robber on the cross. Look at Paul, who persecuted the church and did so many things. Wrong. I receive them, and I'll receive you. You're to be mine, both now and forevermore. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Good Friday, that Jesus paid the price for our sins. That's what it's all about. Christ Jesus crucified and raised again. Now there is another part of this text that has carried some discussion among believers in the Lord Jesus. And it is this statement here where Jesus says, all the Father gives me will come to me. Before that, and then he says, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That leads to the question, why do some come and others do not? That is a kind of a haunting question. Can't you hear a mother and father who love their children? And God has blessed their family with five of them. I may be describing your family today. Four of them are believers in Christ Jesus, committed to him. Not just members of the church, but committed to him. But the one is a rebel. The one has turned his back on God. The one who wants nothing to do with him. The one who chose to marry outside of the faith, and the one who never thinks of Sunday as any different than Monday, never worships him. And here that father and mother, now of years, say, where did we go wrong? I've heard that question again and again. Our children came from the same environment. As far as humanly speaking, it is possible, we have shown no partiality. Each one of them was taught about Jesus. Each one of them was brought to church. Each one of them was told that Christ was the only way to heaven. Each one of them had the same opportunities. Four receive him, and the other one does not. What can we do? And then this question really, this verse really haunts them, where it says that all the Father gives me will come to me. And then the mother or the father says, is it possible that God gave the four children to Jesus and they readily accepted him because they were elected? And the other one could not possibly come because the Father had not chosen him. This has been a big theological debate for a long time. We have all kinds of answers to this. And I do not propose that I have the final answer at all. I am quite convinced that we will not have the final answer until we get to heaven. There are certainly different things that we can understand. And Bishop Ryle, whom I have quoted several times in this Gospel of John chapter, has said, receiving Christ is not a human decision based on convincing arguments. In other words, a strong preacher with a lot of ability to persuade cannot persuade. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Salvation is not our business. It is God's grace that invites us and empowers us to believe. The initiative is in Him, and we respond. In other words, we come to God. And when we stand there in the presence of God, God begins to work. And the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts. And we see that we are sinful people, but we see that God has sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And we see that if we will trust Him, we have life everlasting. Oh, the joy to lead somebody to Christ as you watch the Holy Spirit working through your words. And finally he says, I believe. He's very immature in the Christian faith, but he stays with God every day in that word. And in that word, faith is developed. And we are committed to him. And he knows us. And we know him. And so we can say that this is really true. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. God could have cast me out many times, that person says. But he knows me. This is a truth, friend. And this is not the final answer to all of this about one being saved and the other not. I do not have all the answers to that, nor do I believe that the Bible has given them all to us. There is somewhat of a mystery here, and we cope with it and live with it until our Father tells us about it when we get to heaven. Great people of God have wrestled with this question. Why do some to Christ? Why do some come to Christ and others do not? It will never be finally answered satisfactorily on this earth. This is a mystery that my mind cannot comprehend, but faith can receive. And once again, God wants all people to be saved, and that includes you and me. But it does mean that we must receive Christ as our Savior and Lord. He comes to us in His Word. He's coming right now in His Word. And if we live with that Word, through it, the Holy Spirit will create faith. And one day when you say, I receive you, Lord, and one day when you give your whole life to Him, then you wonder, how did it all happen? I never convinced myself of it. That preacher, no matter how much he tried, could not have won me by his arguments. But suddenly I believe. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Father gave you to Jesus, and He worked faith in your heart and your life, and you're His. Yes, life carries with it a fear of rejection, but just remember something far better than that. Jesus had said, "If you will come to me, I will never cast you out. I will not reject you, but I will receive you, both now and for all eternity. Amen."
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer,
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us a promise that whoever would come to you, you would in no wise ever cast out. We know that our loved one's evaluation of us is important, and we know that as human beings imperfect in our faith, we fear sometimes the rejection of others. God, make us just as concerned, yes, far more, of being rejected by you. And may we rejoice in this great promise that whoever comes to you will in no way ever be cast out. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders currently broadcasts on 18 radio stations across the United States, on the World Wide Web, and on shortwave radio across North America and Europe. Please consider, if you're in a position to do so, sending a gift to help cover production and broadcast costs of these stations. In this way, you become a partner in providing a Sunday worship service to those who need to hear the gospel message. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is also available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 71 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.